Well, I'm probably not the best teacher that you've ever heard, but I try to always teach you God's truth. And probably as important as teaching you God's truth, I think, is that I try to live what I teach. And I care about you all. And hopefully that God uses that to give you a listening in your lives. Similarly, as a dad, daily I teach my kids God's truth, and I try to live out what I teach in front of them, the ways that I follow Christ. And I love my kids, and they know it. And I think that gives me the most influential place in their lives. I hope that I play a similar role in the life or lives of my Christian friends. I think we all have a place in the life of at least one other Christian, and maybe multiple other Christians, where we can influence them to follow Christ. And if they are wayward from following Christ, we have the opportunity, and I would even say the responsibility, to call them back to Christ's ways. So let's learn from the example of the Apostle Paul how we can do that well, how we can call people back to following Christ. Please open your Bible, if you haven't already, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Through the first few chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul had been trying to correct the ways the Corinthian Christians were living. And in the section we're in today, Paul was trying to get them to accept all the correction that he had given them so far. So it's kind of like bringing the first section to an end, and he's appealing to them like, here's why you should listen to me. Please look at chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, while I read. I do not write these things to shame you all, but rather to admonish you all as my beloved children. For perhaps you all have countless tutors in Christ, but not many parents. For in Christ Jesus, through the gospel, I became your parent. Therefore, I am urging you all, you should become imitators of me. For this reason, I sent Timothy to you all, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who will remind you all of my ways in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. So Paul had admonished them. In all these previous chapters, he had admonished them. And he says, as their his dearly loved spiritual children. That's how he was approaching them. And he says he was not trying to shame them in the things that he said. The Corinthians had teachers that they were listening to, their local teachers that they were listening to, and some of them weren't teaching them right ways to live. And so Paul appealed to the Corinthians to listen to him so that they could get back on the right track. He encouraged them to look to him, both to his teaching and to his living, because those two things were consistent with one another, and both of those things were the ways of following Christ. He taught them to follow Christ, and he also lived following Christ himself so that they could look at him as an example and even do the same things he was doing. They would get back on the right track. There seems to be kind of a picture here, which is a common biblical picture of God is like trying to take us down a path. There's a right path in life that is the way God created it to be lived, and God's trying to get us onto that path. To admonish in verse 13 is to show someone how they are going the wrong way. They're on the wrong path of life. And then in verse 17, he said that Timothy would remind them of his ways or his path in Christ. And so Paul was telling the Corinthians that they were off of the path of following Christ, but if they would follow Paul, they would get back on the path of following Christ. Now, this is a pretty easy passage to understand what Paul was saying to them. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on interpretation like we sometimes have to do. In fact, I just did most of the interpretation of the first four verses for you in the last like 35 seconds. So what I was led to do today is focus on application. As I was studying this, all these things kept coming to my mind of how we could learn from Paul's example so that we could be like Paul, or in some cases, how we might be like the Corinthians and we could learn from that. So because few of us are going to be in the exact situation like Paul's situation, or are going to be exactly like the Corinthians who are responding to an apostle or responding to the person who led us to faith in Christ. So I'm going to apply this in some ways that I think are parallel to that. There are three kinds of people that I'm going to make applications to, and I think it might be too much for us all to try to put ourselves in the shoes of all three of these kinds of people. So what I want to encourage you to do right from the beginning is think about which of these three you mostly are. And so then as we go through the passage, you can relate mostly to that that kind of person, and what can I learn from that? So I want to suggest that you pick one right now that you focus on as you listen to the applications that I'm going to give. So think about, I'm going to give you all three right now. Think about which is most true of you. Maybe you are the one who is astray from God's ways. You're not following Christ's path. You can learn from what was being said to the Corinthians. Maybe this can point you to who you should listen to get your life back on the right path. If that's not you, maybe you're a parent. You can learn about being a spiritual parent from Paul. That's what he was saying. He was like their spiritual parent. You can apply this to you being a literal parent of literal children who are hopefully spiritually parenting your children also. Maybe you have a child that's wayward from Christ. You can play the role in their life like Paul played in the life of the Corinthians, and you can be the example that Paul was in the life of the Corinthians. If that's not you, maybe you have a Christian friend who's wayward. You're someone in their life who is walking in Christ's ways. You can play a role in their life like Paul played in the life of the Corinthians, and you can learn from Paul's example in this passage. So do you have which one in mind that you are most like? Look at verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but rather to admonish you as my beloved children. So whether you are counseling your literal child or you're counseling a Christian friend, going to a Christian friend, you can deliver admonishing, that is, warning and correction, without shaming them. This word for shame means that they withdraw. So it kind of pictures like, you know, somebody who's looking up to you, they're looking at you, maybe they're listening to you, and they turn from that toward just, they pull back and they pull inward. That's because they've been shamed. If you shame someone, that's what they often will do. They'll shut down, they'll withdraw from listening to you. They don't want to talk to you anymore. They don't want to hear from you. We don't want that to happen. You can warn someone, you can tell them that their life is headed the wrong direction without shaming them. How do we know that? Because that's what Paul did. He has clearly been admonishing the Corinthians hard through the first three chapters of this book, but he says it wasn't to shame them. So how do we do this? Don't destroy the person. You don't need to destroy the person. Like Paul did, you speak truth to them to show them the error of their ways, and specifically God's truth, like Paul had been doing. He's saying, this is God's truth, and this is, you're not living according to that, and so we can do that with people. Also, we show them that we're attempting to help them. So we shouldn't like beat them over the head with the Bible either. We come and appeal to them saying, I'm trying to help you with your life. I believe that God's ways are the best ways, that following Him is the wise way to live, and I care about you, so that's why I'm trying to bring you onto this, back onto this path. I'm trying to help you. And that's what Paul had done through the first part of this letter. He had given them truth. He had pointed them very clearly to their errors, how they were living and thinking, how those things were contrary to God's truth. He had emphasized dramatically how serious their errors were, the problems that it was causing them in their lives and in their fellowship. And so those things can be done without shaming. You see, most of us, I think, tend to err on the ends of the spectrum from those two things. One error that we tend to fall into is we don't speak the truth. We don't correct people when we see them on the wrong path. Your children or your Christian friends, you don't say what you should to them to call them back. There's many reasons for this. Sometimes we think it's loving to not go after them like that, or we think that we will lose them if we correct them like that, or honestly, a lot of times we're just afraid. We're just afraid to speak truth. The other error is you speak truth. You do correct them, your Christian friends or your literal children. But you feel like you have to destroy them to make your point. We kind of even sometimes prepare for this. Like, I know I'm going into battle. I'm going to make my point with them, and they're going to resist. And so here's all my offensive attack that I'm going to get them with. Or maybe you don't feel like you have to destroy them, but just in the moment with your anger, that's what ends up happening. Those are both the wrong approach. We need to bring that back into the center. And so if we're that person who doesn't usually correct, doesn't usually speak the truth, we need to come in, we need to speak the truth. If we're that person who does usually speak the truth, but we destroy people, we need to come in to hear, and we need to not destroy them, not shame them. Speak the truth, but not in shame. If you destroy them, you'll lose their attention. Now, sometimes you lose their attention just because they won't listen, but we don't want to be the cause of it. The way we approach them, we don't want to be the cause of losing their attention. And on the other side, if you don't correct them, then they're going to stay wayward, off the path, and that's not good for them. So if either one of those two ways, we leave the person in a bad situation. So we need to move into here so that we actually try to help them get back on the right path. So, they have to know that you care about them. Not just that you're disappointed in them, like we see here with Paul calling them his beloved, like they're his children. He's telling them he cares about them. And so he's not making this error of destroying them. He's saying, I'm coming to you because I care about you. I love you. You're like my own children. But we also see that he's not ignoring the issues. He has clearly corrected them and corrected them strongly. The Apostle Paul believed that he could admonish the Corinthians without them withdrawing from him. If we do truly love someone, we have to warn them that they're going the wrong way. And we can do it without them withdrawing from us. At least not because of us and what we did. Verse 15. For perhaps you have countless tutors in Christ, but not many parents. For in Christ Jesus, through the gospel, I became your parent. So what I see in this is that Paul had earned a place in these Christians' lives by what he had been to them spiritually. Now for him, it was at least in part because he had led a bunch of them to faith. He had spent several years in Corinth. He was the one that brought the gospel first, and then he stayed around and he taught these people the Christian faith. So he says he was like a father to them spiritually. For you, if you're a literal parent, you may have led your kids to Christ. And so you're a spiritual parent to them in that way also. And so in addition to being your kid's literal parent, you also have this position of spiritual parent that you've kind of earned. But even if we haven't led someone to Christ, whether that's our own child, maybe we didn't lead them to Christ, or whether that's one of your Christian friends, maybe you didn't lead them to Christ, you might have earned a place in their life. You might have earned a place where you can speak into their lives because of what you have been spiritually in their lives. Maybe you've taught them in some way, or maybe you've just been a good example of what it means to follow Christ. If that's you, then you've earned a place in their lives in some way, shape, or form where you have a place to speak. Utilize that position that you have in the lives of those Christians to call them back to the right path, to call them back to following Christ in His ways. Sometimes we might be afraid, like if I call them to that thing and they don't like it, then I'm going to lose them. They're not going to be my friend anymore. They're not going to listen to me as a teenager anymore or whatever it happens to be. But I would say, what other purpose do you have for having earned that place in their life except for to step in at these critical moments where their life could turn off, is off the wrong path, or it could turn off the wrong path permanently? For such a time as this, you've earned that place in their life. And so utilize that position that you have. It may be that Paul was suggesting in this passage, it's kind of maybe hidden a little bit in there, but he might have been suggesting that he cared more for the Corinthians than their other mere teachers. Because he referred to the other teachers as tutors, which was like a teacher that had a duty to teach kids. And so maybe he was suggesting that him being like a father, he actually cared more for them. And so they should listen to him over those other voices in their lives because he cared more for them. And so I would suggest to you all that we need to show this care, that we need to express this care, and that we may even have already shown care in people's lives more than some of these other influences. And we draw upon that influence that we have and say, listen to me, not all of them. Those people don't care about you as much as I do. Listen to me. If you're the one that's astray from God's ways, when you know someone really cares about you and they're trying to call you back from danger, they're trying to call you back from something that they see you walking into that isn't good, listen to them. If you're a student sitting in here and you know that your parents love you, listen to them. If you have a Christian friend, if you have a mentor, maybe me, but your pastor or another pastor, someone who loves you, who has had a significant place in your life, and that person is someone who is following Christ and they're saying, hey, you're going the wrong way. Listen to them. Don't ignore them. Parents, don't assume that your kids will just automatically take your counsel because you're their parent. Don't assume they won't take your counsel either. I've talked to a lot of those parents and go, oh, they're too old now, I've just lost them. Don't do that. Like I've just encouraged, you've earned this place in their life. Use it as long as you have it. Even if you've got adult kids, you might still have a place of influence in your life because of what you've done in their life, because of the love that you've shown them in your life. Utilize that position. But don't take the other role either and just go, I've lost them, they're gone. We have to actually show them care, though, to earn that place and to keep that place in their lives. It gives us influence, not just because of the position that we have, but because of the care that we show. Like, I recently had a conversation with a friend of mine. He's a good dad. He's a really good dad. He spends time with his kids. He disciplines them appropriately. He's involved. A lot of ways that he's a really good dad. But he's got a couple of his kids that are rebellious. They're rebelling against his teaching and kind of rejecting some of his counsel and some of that stuff. And so I suggested to him that he spend time with his kids in a couple new ways in their lives. He already spends time with them, but I had a couple new ways that I was suggesting that he show that he really cares about their lives right at this stage. And I told him that he should do that, one, because it's good, but also that he might, I wasn't making him any promises, but that he might break through some of that rebellion by showing this care in their lives. And he was like, well, they should just listen to me because I'm their dad. And I was like, yeah, that is one level of authority, but I'm talking about There's many levels of authority that we can have in somebody's lives. There's different ways that we can earn a place in somebody's lives. And so I was trying to think of some thing that he could relate to other than parenting. And I said, okay, you believe the Bible, and you know that me as a pastor, I'm supposed to have a certain level of authority in people's lives in my church, right? He said, yeah. I said, they're supposed to listen to me because I'm their pastor, right? Yeah. And I said, but when I show that I actually care about people's lives that are in my congregation, they listen at a new level. And he's like, oh yeah, I get that, because he's had that happen. And I said, so in a similar way, you know, there's one level of authority that comes with being a dad, and there's another level of authority that comes because you actually show that you care. And so that's what I'm encouraging you to do in this season is step in more and show that you care. And he understood that. And so parents, show your kids that you actually care about them and their lives. Not that you're just trying to get control their lives, because that's what they can often think. Not that you're just trying to get them to act right for you, which actually may be the case presently. But that you care about them. You care about their life. You care about their future. You care about their eternal life. You care about their well-being. And it's because, so you're marrying the fact that you actually believe God's ways are the right ways to live life and saying, I care about you so much, and so that's why I'm trying to get you to walk this way. Verses 16 and 17. Therefore, I'm urging you, you should become imitators of me. For this reason I sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. So this is said in the context of Paul just having demonstrated in the verses that we read last week that he was living for Christ and living Christ's ways. And so by the Corinthians imitating Paul, the Corinthians would be living Christ's ways and would be living like Christ. Verse 17 confirms that Paul was living Christ's ways. He was living consistent with his own teaching. He didn't just teach people to follow Christ, but he says, I actually do that myself. And so he wasn't saying one thing and living a different way. Paul lived what he taught, which was following Christ's ways. Children are supposed to learn by following their parents' behavior. Spiritual children should learn by following their spiritual parents' good behavior. And so if you are a Christian and you are a literal parent, hopefully you are being a spiritual parent to your children also, so that is what they are following. Because no matter what you show them, they're going to follow you in some way, shape, or form. Your kids will learn from your example. And so what are they watching and learning from? If church is important to you or not. If you're spending time reading the Bible or not. If you're actually loving others, including your spouse and your kids, or not. If you lose your temper or not. If you're selfish or you care more about others. If you're materialistic or generous. If you get drunk. If you curse, if you watch inappropriate shows and listen to music with worldly lyrics, they see it. Or, if you're joyful, peaceful, show patience, and are kind to others, they see it. Paul's teaching and his living were consistent, which was to follow Christ in his ways. Many of the local influences in Corinth were teaching them to live worldly. They were being a worldly influence in their lives. And Paul was trying to call them back from those bad influences to following Christ and his ways. If you're someone sitting here that is following Christ and his ways, and you have a friend or you have a child that is wayward, who has worldly influences and they're starting to live worldly because of those influences, let me say to you, don't give up. Don't just throw your hands up and go, well, they've made their choice. Don't give up trying to get them to come back to living right, to following the ways that you've taught them and that you are modeling for them. If you're the person that's being influenced by the world, if you're the person that's starting to live worldly ways, let me tell you, Christ's ways are the wise ways. God created life, and he's shown us through his word how we're supposed to live, not just as a way to like mess with us or try to set this high standard that we can't live up to or something like that. God is telling us to live these ways because they're the good ways. The worldly ways are going to lead to trouble for you, and I'll tell you, you may not even see it yet. When we're in the middle of living those worldly ways, we often look at Christ's ways and we go, that's stupid, and we don't see the stupid ways that we're living. And so I want to encourage you to look around. Look at the other people that are living worldly. Maybe even look and try to find somebody who's done what you're doing right now. Try to find somebody who's done that before and see how it turned out for them. If you don't know how to find that person to look to that's the bad example, look that's doing what you're doing now and see how it turned out, go ask somebody who's wise. I bet they've seen it before. Go ask your parent. Go ask somebody who's older. They've been around. They've seen people make these mistakes. Go and ask them, what's going to happen? And believe them, because they've seen it. Look at the lives then, like I'm saying, look up from your situation. Don't just look at the people who have done it your way. Look at the people who are living for Christ. Do you see peace? Do you see meaning? Do you see wisdom? Now, let me qualify that. I said, look at the people who are following Christ. I didn't say, just look at a Christian. Because you may look at some Christians and go, oh, they're hypocrites, and then use that as an excuse for yourself not coming back and following Christ. Don't do that, because it's just not good for you. Look at those. If there's some people that are calling themselves Christians and they're not living for Christ, put them in the same boat with you. Like, hey, we're not all following Christ. Instead, we should look and find an example of somebody who is. Somebody who really is living Christ's ways. And then go to them for counsel. Go to them for how to get back on the right path. Like I said, maybe go to them because they might be able to give you examples of other people who you don't know about, who already did what you're doing and they've already seen the bad results. And they can show you. Look at verses 18 through 21 while I read. Now some are puffed up as though I'm not coming to you. But I will come to you all soon, if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of those who have become puffed up, but rather the power. For the kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. What do you all want? Shall I come to you all with a rod? Or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Paul believed that for some, this letter was not going to change their direction. They weren't going to be repentant because they were puffed up. They were arrogant. And arrogant people have a hard time being corrected. Paul said, I will find out not the talk of those who have become puffed up, but rather the power. For the kingdom of God is not in talk, but in power. That word for power means the ability to achieve something. And it usually refers to God working to achieve something. So the test that Paul would apply to the people who were puffed up, who thought, oh, I've got life all figured out, is he would see, is there effect happening in your life from God? See, teachers can talk about what they've taught, and learners can talk about what they've learned, but is there power, that is effect, working of God in their lives? If a Christian thinks that they're living right, then the real question is, are they growing in Christ-like behavior? There's a lot of people that go to church and do Christian-like things, but is their life actually changing to become more Christ-like that shows God's power at work? Is there evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives? Is there more love? Is there more joy? Is there more peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? For teachers, are the Christians they are teaching growing in those kinds of ways? It's not all up to the teacher, but what we've already seen in 1 Corinthians is that if the teacher is teaching the truth of God, then the Holy Spirit supports that and He works in power. And so if the Spirit is supporting, is the Spirit supporting what they're teaching by working in the lives of their students? Paul finished by saying, what do you all want? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? So Paul is still positioning himself in this kind of role of father, spiritual father, and he's imagining different responses of his children. If he comes and corrects them and Some don't receive it. Some don't repent. Then he has to bring the rod, the discipline. And then there are going to be those who are going to receive his correction. They're going to come, they're going to be repentant. And he says, in that case, I can come with love and a spirit of gentleness. Which do you want? He says. Which kind of listener are you going to be? Which way are you going to respond? And so, if, like a father, Paul comes and some have acted arrogantly and resisted the correction, then he's going to metaphorically have to spank some of them. But I want to look mostly at the other side of this. If a dad admonishes his child and they accept it, they repent, they say they want to give themselves to change, then a dad may not have to bring the punishment. He can just come and comfort them from the difficulty that they just went through and bring love to them. When my kids come to me and they've messed up, or I've gone to them and I've been admonishing them because they've messed up, the main thing that I'm looking for in my kids is that they're repentant. That they say, yeah, that was wrong and I want to change. And when that happens, often, one, I won't even give them any punishment. Now, sometimes I still give them a consequence because they need it. But it's usually not as heavy of a consequence as if they were rebellious. But if I come to them and admonish them and they're repentant, they say, I'm sorry for that. I don't want to be that way anymore. Then here's a key thing that I believe I do this because I'm trying to model myself after God. I don't just go, okay, fine, it's over. There's something else yet still to do. Paul says he had this opportunity to come with love and a spirit of gentleness to those who were repentant. And so what I try to do with my kids in that moment is follow up with comfort and love. They need comfort after being admonished. And they need to know that there's still love. They need to know that's not just why I came to them in the first place, is because I love them and want them to get them on the right path, but I love them. I still accept them. And having that kind of response with somebody who's been repentant reinforces that repentance is a right response. When a child is repentant, when one of your brothers or sisters in Christ is repentant, you've won them. And so you need to receive them back with open arms. Not hold a grudge because of how they've hurt you. Or hold it against them that somehow you have to pay me back for all this hurt that you caused me, that I had to deal with. It needs to not be about our hurt, but it needs to be about the fact that we've won them, that we're excited about that, and this is a person that we care about that's decided to come back and get on the right path. And so if they are repentant, it's time to comfort them from the hurt that their sin has caused them or the hurt that the consequences have caused them. It's time to love on them. And so, as a parent or a Christian friend, correct those who are off the path of the Lord and encourage them to get back to following Christ. But don't shame them, because that will unnecessarily, on your part, cause them to withdraw. Be a good model for them for what it looks like to follow Christ. Your life should be consistent with what you're telling them, and not just that your life is right on the particular thing that you happen to be encouraging them on, but that your life is consistently following Christ in every way. Because that's actually what happens in hypocrisy a lot of times, is we're looking at somebody else's life, and we have this one particular thing that is right in our lives and is wrong in theirs, and so we look at them and go, oh, you're doing that wrong, and we correct them in that. But it might be that there's all kinds of other ways that we're not following Christ in our lives. And so when they look back, they hear our correction, they look back over at our lives, they go, what? You're not following Christ in all these ways, hypocrite. And so we're not going to be perfect, but we need to be consistently trying to follow Christ in all the ways in our lives. That's where we gain the position to go and say, hey, you need correction in this. You need to get back on the path of this. And they can look at our lives and go, yeah, they pretty much do that. And if we do correct somebody and they are repentant, comforting them from the difficulty they just went through and loving them is right. We need to take that last step and not just go, oh, it's over. Take that last step of comfort and love. What Paul was doing in the life of the Corinthians, I believe, is he's being intermediary. This is the way God uses people in so many different ways. He was being an intermediary to be God in their lives in a way. He was being Christ in their lives in a way. That's how God wants to use us. And so if you're a parent, if you're a friend, that's what the opportunity is here, is to be Christ in somebody's life. They often, when people are wayward, like they're not seeing God clearly, and they're not relating to God clearly. And so you're God with flesh on to them. Will you play that role? So we started out with this, me asking you, you know, which one of these roles do you fit in best? Now I want to finish saying, who is that person? Maybe that's wayward. If you're a parent, if you're a friend, is there somebody that actually is wayward from following Christ's ways? Would you go to them? Call them back in love. If you're that person that's wayward from Christ's ways, maybe you need somebody besides just God and Christ to be that to you. Go find them. And just tell them you need their help. What questions about this passage or about this topic, about topics that this has brought up, do you have questions on that I can answer for you? Do I need to spend more time with a person like this? So I think two answers to that. One is that if you've earned the place in somebody's life, like Paul had earned the place in these people's lives. I mean, he wasn't there at this present time, but he had spent several years there in Corinth with these people, teaching them and stuff. And so if you've earned that place in their life, this might be somebody that you already spend a decent amount of time with and have decent communication with, and so they know, you know, that you're following Christ and you have opportunity because of that. But I think you are right in that there might be a need through a season to step in closer to somebody who's struggling, because maybe if a lot of their influences around them are leading them a wrong way, like they need some stronger influence from somebody who's really following Christ, and that might require more time and more phone calls and more, you know, showing them, like, hey, I care, come this way, right? Even our kids, I mean, that doesn't apply directly in your situation. It's probably more friends and stuff like that. But a lot of us, for our kids, we might need to draw in during a particular season. We might even spend a decent amount of time with our kids, but we might have to draw in during a season and say, I need to spend more time in this season because they're being influenced by wrong influences. And so I need to draw in during this season and spend more time and more effort. Like my friend who I was telling you about in the sermon, like, he's a good dad. He's not a mess up dad. He's leading them spiritually and he spends time with them and stuff like that. But I was like, hey, I think, you know, you need to step in even more in this season and do a couple other things that show them that you really care. Even though I know you do and you know you do, like, show them. So basically, how do we talk to a Christian who's being taught by a false teacher? So I would presume that if you know that, then you know some of the things they're being taught. So I think the best that you can do is show them the Word of God on some of those subjects. Just take them to the actual Word, walk through some passages with them, and go, look, this is the truth. And what they're teaching you is different than that in these ways. So that person doesn't seem to be teaching you the Bible. You may not be able to convince them. And they may not even, sometimes it might not even seem like people care that much about the Bible itself. You know, they just go and they well, that was the issue with the Corinthians, right? They liked the interesting teaching and novelty of what they were being taught from the teachers around them. And it seems like they weren't actually caring about the Word of God. And what was Paul saying to them? You need the Word of God. He was trying to call them back to the Word of God, like, hey, don't be so interested in the style of the teaching and is that interesting and whatever. As a matter of fact, Paul says, my teaching wasn't very interesting. Like, I was kind of standing there in front of you like a weak guy, you know, but what I was bringing to you is the Word of God, and that has power. And so what I would say is you may not think that they care about the Word of God or that what you show them is going to work, but the Word of God has the power of God behind it. The Holy Spirit supports when we teach the Word of God. And so that's the best you can do is show them the Word of God and pray and hope that, you know, God is going to support that with His power behind that. Let's pray together to apply what we learned today. Would you just sit for another moment and listen to God? Open your mind to Him and let Him speak. What do you need to do with what you just heard? God, I pray that each of us would believe that You are the one true God, that You created this life, and so You know the best ways to live. That's what You're trying to lead us with. You're trying to lead us onto the path of not just eternal life, but real life now. That we would believe about You, that You are our good Father that's trying to bring good things into our lives. And God, I pray that for each of us who does trust that, who are following You, that we would be the one who would go and call others to that. That we would play the role of intermediary for You, like You want us to, in the lives of our own children, the lives of our peers, our friends. That we would be Christ in flesh to them when they're having trouble seeing You and following You. God, may You use us that way. It's in Christ's name I pray. And all those who agreed said, Amen.